This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, I'm Sharad Kutin with Kusu Chuang and Julian Ng with the top business stories. Just a note, after the 8 o'clock news, stay tuned for the Breakfast Grill. We have Dato Wei Chuan Beng. He is the Group Managing Director of Red Tone International Berhad, and he's going to go head-to-head with Ibrahim Sani. Now, back to the business stories of the day. We were just talking about Li Ka-shing, and now we move across the globe to Switzerland. Switzerland is asking Malaysia for help. And this over, of course, that...
Who would have thought?
You know, this is actually not a new story. This is a story with very long legs, and it's the 1MDB story.
Yeah, this is the second time that the Swiss authorities are asking Malaysia to help in the 1MDB case. I think in the first case, it was all about bribery and money laundering. And right now, they are trying to investigate into a Ponzi scheme.
Yeah, so apparently, according to the news, the first request went unheeded, right? So this is the second time that the Swiss authorities are asking for more information on the issue, except that this is obviously a different issue.
And it's still very much an international investigation because not only the Swiss authorities, but of course Singapore and the US prosecutors are also digging into what 1MDB is doing. The reverberations are felt across the world. But what has been the response of Malaysia so far?
I think Malaysia, the official statement, as I understand it, is the case is closed, right? All the I's have been dotted, the T's have been crossed, and the government is satisfied, and the institutions that we have, led by the individuals,
have they responded to the requests of the foreign authorities?
Well, I'm not sure about that, but what we do have is a pressure on those institutions from, obviously opposition voices that have used the 1MDB issue, whether they'll be able to get the government of the day to in some sense, backpedal on their sense that this, in fact, is a closed case.
Well, there is a comment from the Attorney General, Muhammad Appendi Ali, in July, saying that no evidence from any investigation conducted by any law enforcement agency in various jurisdictions has showed money had been misappropriated from 1MDB. So that's Malaysia's response.
That's Malaysia's response.
Yeah,
Nothing wrong.
It's case closed. I mean, I think they just want this to go away, but like a, what do they call it, a bad penny?
Some smells can be removed from the room.
I think for the Malaysian public, again, the trust deficit is there, and it's not going to get any better if international or, agencies in other parts of the world continue to see this as a problem and continue to do the due diligence, continue to do the investigations. It doesn't do any good for our institutions that have buried their heads
in
the sand.
Well, World Bank had something to say about Malaysia. It might or might not be related to 1MDB. First of all, they said that Malaysia's GDP would slow to 4.2% this year from 5% last year. And secondly, from the World Bank's group chief economist, Dr. Sudhir Shetty, he said that Malaysia needs to have continued prudent and prudential and structural reforms to get around the short-term challenges. He splits the reforms into two things, the short-term and the long-term, and both need to be addressed.
Okay, moving on to the question of Berjaya. Berjaya, of course, is not the word for success. Berjaya is also, or it could be a success, it's a word for the company. So Berjaya Corp apparently is planning to dispose an entire stake in Toronto's listed Tiger for about $206 million. The question, I guess, guys, is this a good move and what does it signal?
Well, this is very micro and Berjaya has made a killing out of this, made a gain of about 72 million ringgit. But, there are other infrastructural issues at play around the region. I saw this other news from Bernama that the internet access in emerging nations is expected to surge because developing countries projected to grow their, the percentage of population getting internet access is expected to increase to 50% from 34% right now. So by 2025, it will grow to half of these people. And that's a lot of people getting internet access. So perhaps, a focus of a change in focus from really building bridge and infrastructure and so on to other kinds of infrastructure.
Well, correct. I mean, Vincent Tan, if you talk about Li Ka-shing, I mean, Vincent Tan, he's a serial investor and entrepreneur. So obviously, whether privately or via Berjaya Corp, they've got investments all over the world. So obviously, Canada or disposing in Canada and getting some spare ammo, you might be right. He might be using some of that spare cash to be deploying. He already owns, I think, part of U Mobile and part of Redtone, right?
Yeah, I think there are also a lot of opportunities for other people. We're talking about internet. We're talking about a lot of urbanization that's going on. And by the way, another piece of news from Bernama as well. Malaysia is to set up a solar photovoltaic volume. Did you guys know that Malaysia is a huge, one of the biggest, ranked third in terms of solar PV production in the world? The others are China, of course, contributing to about half of the world's production. Then Taiwan, 20%. Malaysia is 12% market share.
Yeah, I know. Actually, this stock, you know, TechSeng has been moving in the last few months exactly on that PV news. You know what would be a really big coup for us to go and talk to Elon Musk and say, hey, dude, let's set up Solar City here or set up a Solar City.
Provide a challenge to the second link to Singapore, right?
Yeah,
the Hyperloop.
Exactly.
Julian, you know, interesting that you talked about urbanization. The Economist Intelligence Unit has just come out with a report saying that Malaysia is the second most urbanized country in ASEAN, and it expects some 66% of the national income to come from cities. We are seriously an urban community, you know. On the other side, on the flip side, the Barisan National Government, which is the government of the day, doesn't have much representation in cities. It is a curious fact that it's now largely a rural base,
voter base
yeah. Government, the country is rapidly urbanizing.
One word for that is the reason: information. As the more you know, the more you're inclined to think one direction.
Well,
and
you
I'm
know,
not citing the band here.
Okay.
I know
where you're going with this. But just going back to the EIU numbers, it's pretty interesting, actually. The four major cities in Malaysia, Kuala Lumpur, Penang, JB, and Ipoh, adds up to only a little over 36% of the national population, but contributes 60% to national income. So these four cities, very rich, and I think infrastructure is going to break at the seams. That's why we are announcing all these projects left, right, and center. But still, I think a lot more focus has to be placed on the views and opinions of those populace.
Absolutely.
In those four cities.
Absolutely.
Okay. Blick Plantation Company, IOI's compliance with the Roundtable on Sustainable Palm Oil is being audited now. And if it passes the audit, it will keep its certification as a sustainable palm oil grower. The question is, how important is this in terms of its access to markets, especially in Europe, where sustainability is an important box to tick?
Absolutely. I mean, some years ago, they bought Lotus Crockland from the Netherlands. And so, obviously, one of the biggest buyers is the European bloc. And they've got that whole issue to address.
Yeah, I think some of IOI's biggest customers, like Unilever and Nestle and the others, have also stopped doing business with IOI. So we have come to a stage whereby environmental concerns are very big, are very high on the list of the customers' focus, simply because the customers of Unilever and Nestle themselves are also focusing on the environment.
Yeah,
this is something that's
precisely
big.
You go into a store in Europe and you would want to buy environmentally responsible products. You know, you buy chocolates or Nutella or whatever from a store which has that certification, and people don't mind paying a bit more at this point in time, and they're increasingly so.
But you see, there's also the question of the ecosystem of companies that produce oil palm. They're not just the big plantations that perhaps can leverage on the new technologies and become sustainable and tick that box. There are also a lot of small producers that are part of the mix who don't have the economies of scale, who find it very difficult to make these shifts, but they're still there and they're still producing. So what happens to them, and how do we shift
the
circumstances?
Which care less about sustainability. So they'll sell to an India or in China, for example. genomics. So,
well, Wilma is one of the biggest producers that's operating out of China. It's actually Robert Kwok's stable of company.
Yeah.
And they also take note of environmental factors, even though they have big business in China. So we will be quite surprised to learn that China is quite serious about environmental concerns because their air there is so dirty. So they're taking a lot of steps to address that situation, reduce the pollution over there. I think China has been one of the world's biggest countries to expand on alternative energy. So that's coming out of China simply because of their sheer size, I think.
You know, a brilliant book on China's environmental problems and its challenges and things it's doing is a book called When a Billion Chinese Jump by Jonathan Watts. I recommend it to anybody because it's a very fair assessment by a journalist who spent more than 20 years in China looking at the question of the environment, both some of the real problems, but some of the real advances that China's making.
Absolutely. It goes beyond consumption, goes beyond that as well, because it's also got investment implications. We saw Norway's Norge Fund reducing its exposure to a non-compliant company. So on a number of fronts, compliance actually is quite important.
Moving on, The Breakfast Grill, coming up after the 8 o'clock news. We had that Wei Chuan Beng. He's the Group Managing Director of Red Tone International Berhad, and he's going head-to-head with Ibrahim Sani. Remember, that's The Breakfast Grill after the 8 o'clock news, which is coming up very soon with Nadia Abdulaziz, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.